Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Now, I'm not going to let everybody call in when Bill Walton's on and ask him questions. But if you have a question you want me to ask Bill Walton at 1 o'clock, you can tweet at me, at John Canzano BFT. No promises. I might only get two, three questions in a half hour with Bill Walton. But no promises, but tweet at me, and maybe I'll pick one of the best questions. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News. At Wilner Hotline on Twitter, does a terrific job on the Pac-12 conference. There is nobody better on the Pac-12. You know that. I know that. He joins us now. Wilner, are you safe? Is everybody healthy?
No complaints down here. I hope you and the family are safe and everybody at the station, all your listeners, hope everybody is safe and sound.
Weird times, man.
Give
me an idea because, you know, we're both in the sports world. And, you know, we've been asking, like, when is college football coming back? When are these guys going to get back on the field? Is there going to be a season? You wrote today that, you know, we might be asking the wrong question of the wrong people. What do you mean by that?
Well, I just think that the head coaches, for sure, and the athletic directors, who are the folks that their voices are heard most often in the college football media space, but they don't know when college football's starting. And it seems to me that they're not going to let the players get on the field and start practicing and be in the locker room and eating training table in the weight room until the university presidents decide that the campus is safe for students, right? And if you can't hold a lecture for 50 kids, how are you going to have 85 in a locker room together, or 100 as it is? You know, so I just think the locker room's not going to open until the classroom opens. And the university presidents will make their decision based on what governors and state health and even the federal health officials have to say.
John Wilner with us, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News. So if we're looking for, if we're reading the tea leaves, and we're looking for dominoes ready to fall, where are you looking for the first signs that we could see daylight on the college football front?
The students are back on campus for summer school. To me, that is the first marker. And if all the schools continue to have remote classes all the way through the summer, I don't know how they're going to start training camp. You know, I just don't see it. And there's no indication right now that schools are ready to do that. I think that the last week of May, maybe first 2 weeks of June, to me are going to be that's the key window to see about campus life returning. And then from there, maybe they let the football players who are used to being on campus over the summer working out, if they open up campus late May, early June, maybe the football players are allowed back on to start working out, you know, and sometime in July so that they can get a longer ramp up for the season. But I have a hard time believing things are going to start as normal with a kickoff of that first weekend in September.
If students are not back on campus, and that's a great point because, that'll be a big indicator from the universities that it's safe to come back. If they're not back on campus throughout the summer, if it takes maybe a portion of the fall to get students back on campuses, do you foresee the cancellation of college football or college football being pushed into the spring as the more likely possibility?
Yeah, I think that if I were betting, I would bet on a delayed season. Now, does delay mean they start in late October or early November with no fans? Maybe. Does it mean that they start in January? That could be too. You hear a lot of folks saying, well, we're not going to play if there are no fans in the stands. And I think that when push comes to shove and you give those schools the option, no games at all and no money, or you play with no fans, they will all play with no fans. They have to have college football, or other sports are going to feel the impact. Football's funding all the Olympic sports across the Pac-12. If there is no football, you're going to see potentially the elimination of teams and layoff, mass layoffs. They'll do whatever it takes to play football at some point in the next, 9-10 months.
Yesterday, I was reading some research that pointed out that the revenue generated by the average Power 5 conference football program is the same amount of revenue that the other 35 sports combined in college athletics create on a daily or annual basis. I mean, it's just a huge portion of what they do. Wisconsin is trotted out something interesting. Barry Alvarez, the athletic director there, announced this week that Wisconsin will not allow seniors who lost their spring sport to come back and pursue another year with their teams next year. What do you think that decision is rooted in?
I think it's rooted in money. I think that they're looking at some revenue cuts because of cancellations this spring. And, I don't know how many intercollegiate sports Wisconsin's got or how many spring sports they've got, but, if every senior wanted to come back, that's a hefty amount in scholarship money, especially if you have a lot of out-of-state kids, right? Because those out-of-state scholarships cost more money. So it's interesting. It certainly, to me, is wrong, and I would imagine Wisconsin might take a hit in recruiting. But they're not going to take a hit in football or men's basketball recruiting because those sports aren't affected. So I can't see anybody in the Pac-12 doing it. That would run so counter to everything the Pac-12 stands for with the commitment to Olympic sports. I just can't see it. And if a school were to do that, they would take a pummeling on PR.
In your weekly hotline, you have a quote from USC athletic director who's talking about sort of the fact that they are dealing with a reduction in distribution money. They're not getting the NCAA tournament money, the money that they have, the lifeblood that they have come to rely upon. And certainly the Pac-12, from a revenue standpoint, was already lagging. What is he talking about there when he says we're working with different models trying to determine how we manage the reduction in distribution?
I believe he's talking about the distributions from the NCAA tournament. The schools are going to, and the cancellation of the Pac-12 tournament, that's almost $1.5 million per school. Now, I think they may get some of that back with some of the cost-cutting measures that the conference announced this week with pay reductions and some layoffs. But, they're looking at about $1.5 million in lost revenue, and that also does not include revenue that you would get from ticket sales to your spring sports. And there may be other issues. The conference may, and I don't know this, and this is just purely speculation on my part, but, I don't know what the impact is going to be with the Pac-12 networks, agreements with, say, Comcast and Cox and Dish, because there are no sports to broadcast this spring. There's no Pac-12 baseball, no Pac-12 softball. I don't know if there's going to be some kind of reduction in payout on that end, and I haven't asked, to be honest, but, there's a whole bunch of areas where the revenue streams are going to shrink a little bit here, and that doesn't count if there's no football.
This is an unforeseen thing, this coronavirus, but we all sort of saw the Pac-12 was trending in the wrong direction when it came to revenue, and they were falling behind. Are they in a greater position of peril now than they were before this relative to their peers? Or is everybody in the same boat as you see major college athletics?
I think everybody's basically in the same boat. It's hard to get a specific gauge on the impact of the March Madness cancel because, you get paid based on how you do in previous years. So, the Pac-12 is schools are taking up, million and a half haircut. ACC, they make far more money on March Madness than the Pac-12 does on an annual basis because they have more teams in and those teams do better. but they're at the same time their budgets are different, right? So it's all based on the percent, the March Madness haircut as a percentage of your annual revenue, and I don't know enough about that, but my sense is that it's basically pretty even, you know, or certainly within a equitable range in terms of the hit that everybody's taking. You know, if there's no football, though, then things change significantly.
I keep thinking about the Pac-12 headquarters in San Francisco and that $7 million a year in rent that they're paying. I had a tax expert look at the 990 filing. What jumped off the page to him was the deferred rent that the Pac-12 is carrying. It's about $12 million that carries total from the time that they started that lease. He says at some point that $12 million bill is going to come due at the end of this lease. It appears that the Pac-12 was banking on a big payoff in 2024, being able to foot that bill and springing forward. Negotiation-wise, is all of that right now Swiss cheese? I mean, is it all in doubt because of what's gone on and their ability to negotiate down the road here with this deal that's coming up in 2022? Is that a concern that the Pac-12 now has an amplified outlook on?
I think that probably so, because of the potential impact of this on the economy over the next few years, consumer spending habits, the media space. I mean, you know, already, right, there's the cord cutting. Well, what if cord cutting continues because of an economic downturn? But the problem is that there's no evidence that the streaming companies are willing to pay the same amount as the cable and broadcast companies for media rights. So, you know, I think that it could end up being business as usual if the economy and the media space in particular, sports media space, recovers, you know, in the next 2-3 years. But if there's a longer downturn and the, you know, the consumer behavior undercuts the media industry as we've known it for the last 10 or 15 years, then I think the Pac-12 could be in serious trouble. And it would be in maybe more trouble than some of the other conferences, because those conferences are all aligned with a network, right? The ACC networks with ESPN, SEC networks with ESPN, Big Ten network is with Fox. So they almost have a lifeboat, and the Pac-12 network does not have a lifeboat.
John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News. Before I cut you loose, you know, I was in Costco yesterday. I wore a mask in there. I was stressed out about being in there, but half the people in the Costco did not have masks on, and it kind of bothered me. I was like, hey, why aren't we all doing this? When you go out in the Bay Area, where are you going and what do you see?
Good question. I go to the local Safeway or Trader Joe's. I went to Trader Joe's last week wearing a mask, and I had to stand in line for 90 minutes to get in because they only allow certain, and it's the same thing with Safeway, they only allow a certain number of people in at a time, so there's a line. And, you know, once you get in, you can move around pretty well because there's so few people in the store. Most people I see outside doing that kind of thing are wearing masks. But to be honest, I haven't done anything other than go to the grocery store in the last, I don't know how many weeks. It's bananas. Other than going out and, you know, throwing the ball around with my kid or going for a run or a bike ride, I have not been inside a store that doesn't sell food in a long time.
I noticed the kids in our household, they're under stress in a different way, in their own way. The 5-year-old did a little book this morning. She was writing a story out, and her story involved people getting in a car, and one of the pages was they put on their masks and then they got in the car, and it broke my heart. How are your kids doing?
They're doing okay, thanks. You know, I've got an 8-year-old, a 12-year-old. 12-year-old understands what's going on. The 8-year-old does too, but he's having a hard time with the homeschooling. He just doesn't compute with him that he's at home, but he's got to spend 30 minutes on math or 30 minutes on English. So that has been a little bit of a struggle. Bedtime is completely off the rails. you know, it's like they're like living my college years. They go to bed at 11 and they're 6 at 10. But, you know, they're going to tell their grandkids about this. They're going to be telling their grandkids about this like, you know, our parents tell them about, you know, the day Kennedy was shot or World War II. It's crazy.
Agree. Before I cut you loose, Mike Gundy's demand that players who are on campus May 1. What was your reaction when you saw that?
I laughed. I just laughed. He is a piece of work. You know, I just died. It's almost like he's living on Mars. I don't understand. But it does give you a little bit of insight, because he's not the only one in the state of Oklahoma who thinks about that, who thinks that way, or Texas or Louisiana. You know, it's just football has an entirely different meaning in other parts of the country. It certainly doesn't mean he's right, but it does kind of remind us that there is a deeper, much more ingrained part of the culture in other places. But my gosh, even his own athletic department had to kind of step in and, you know, kind of try to clean up that mess.
I love it. Wilner, take care of yourself. Take care of your kids.
Hey, I got a question for Walton. I got one question.
Yeah, go.
What is he reading during these hard times?
Got it. I'll ask him. Tune in.
Thank you.
John Wilner, Bay Area News Group. Leave it here. Bill Walton coming up in just a couple minutes. Every day on the show, we give you the one thing you need to know, something big and splashy that's going on. And it comes from the world of football today.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
But the Big Splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Couple of broadcast developments in the world of the NFL. CBS Sports has let go of Dan Fouts, their number two NFL game analyst. They're going after Fox's second NFL analyst, Charles Davis. This according to the New York Post. Fouts, 69 years old, had a long career on and off the field, Hall of Famer on the field. He has been on Monday Night Football, but I think Fouts will eventually end up at another outlet, though it could likely be on college football, which he has broadcast for a large portion of his career. Dan Fouts out at CBS. That's the big news. Also, Drew Brees has apparently picked NBC over ESPN in a what is being viewed as another setback for Monday Night Football. Brees signed with NBC Sports in a fixture that will make him an NFL broadcaster after his playing days. So he's already got a succession plan in order. Drew's going to continue his career this fall, apparently on the field, but then he will be expected to start as a game analyst on Notre Dame football and a studio analyst on Football Night in America. NBC sold Drew Brees on being part of their team, trying to solidify their announcing group. They got a question looming about Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels coming down the pipeline as well. All right, Bill Walton is coming up. He will be with us here in just a few minutes on the top of the hour to talk about life, cycling, what he's reading now. I think you need a breath of fresh air. I have for several days said we need a breath of fresh air on this show. And the place that I impulsively wanted to go was to bring Bill Walton onto the show to talk to you about what he's doing, what he's excited about. We need, humanity needs someone to...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.